This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steerin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. By Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. The Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And by the Litchfield National Bank. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, and welcome to Sports Saturday. Going to be a busy day of basketball on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. We got a girls-boys doubleheader coming up tonight from Nokomis, Hillsboro, and NOCO. Girls live at 5, boys live at 7, both on FM 106 and streaming at WSMIRadio.com. 1:30 this afternoon, we will have Fighting Illini basketball from Minnesota over on 105.3 The Ox. And David, these should be two good ball games tonight in Nokomis as the Lady Skins are off to a 5-0 start. The Lady Toppers, solid start to their season. They've played a little bit of a tougher schedule in the early portions, but that's going to be a nice battle, especially on the inside. You got Audrey Sobel for Nokomis, and then Nakia Harson and Claire Tester for Hillsboro. That's going to be a very intriguing matchup tonight.
Yeah, and there's still no basketball postseason, correct?
Because
there was reports about IHSA approving some sort of postseason play, but I don't know what that was for.
I did not see that.
Okay, gotcha.
But no, unless they drastically change, the high-risk sports aren't having postseason.
Well, it's too soon to organize that.
I guess one of the changes that has come down is, I was told last night, wrestling's not going to be required to wear masks.
Oh, really? Okay.
Which, I never understood how that was going to work with the grappling and all that goes into the sport of wrestling. But that's what I was told last night.
Yeah. I mean, with being such close contact is a requirement of the sport. It's something else to grab, albeit not very effective if you do. So, I mean, it makes sense. You're right up against each other anyway. What's a mask going to do?
What's a mask? Yeah. No, absolutely.
In that situation.
Boys game tonight, Hillsboro, Nokomis. The Toppers off to a 5-0 start. Their best start in a number of years here for Hillsboro. They're looking very strong. So two intriguing matchups tonight on FM 106. We'll get it underway just in front of 5 o'clock this evening on WSMI. And, I had a thought about something, but I forgot what it was.
You lost it.
I lost it. It went away.
Well, maybe it'll come back.
Nah, I doubt it. About 3 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
It'll come back. David, my day has been a series of first world problems at this point.
Oh, yeah?
I brought cereal to eat for breakfast. Forgot to grab my milk at home. So I had to stop at Dollar General to get masking tape for the broadcast tonight. Forgot to get milk at Dollar General. And then I realized that I had bought the type of masking tape that I didn't really like. It was the thicker masking tape. So I thought, oh, all right, well, I'll stop at Litchfield at the Casey's, get some masking tape, get a bottle of water, get some milk. Got everything but the milk. How do you forget milk 3 different times?
Yeah.
How does this happen?
You just need to carry along your own cow. Have it ready right there.
But yeah, then you got to remember the cow.
This is true.
I'd forget. Where did I put that cow?
Chain yourself to the cow.
There you go.
You two can't separate. But yeah, you need some sort of personal assistant to be traveling with you.
I do need a personal assistant. Yeah. That would be nice.
Tally Broadcasting can foot the bill. Have Tim Mize his own personal assistant.
Yeah, I'll turn that expense in. I'm sure that'll turn out real well for me.
Yeah.
And you know what another pet peeve of mine has become during this pandemic? This is so small and so stupid. When you're down to like the last little bit of hand sanitizer, and you go to squeeze it out, and you squeeze out way too much, way more than you need, and it's just slopping around everywhere, no good.
Rubbing your hands for days.
For days.
For days.
Just no good.
Days. Just start rubbing it all over your body, cleanse everything.
It's become, just kind of part of the daily ritual, getting the hand sanitizer out. And boy, when you go into these gyms now, they smell like hospitals.
Yeah.
They're cleaning, deep cleaning, sanitizing these things on a regular basis. And I have not seen the masks be an issue at all with the basketball players. You know, the kids, the coaches consistently say they're used to it. You know, they wear them at school all day. So that has not been a problem at all. And the biggest annoyance to me still remains no jump ball.
Yeah.
Just that seems to have everyone confounded. Like, what is that accomplishing exactly? It's just a really strange way to start a ball game. And you only have one a game, you know, unless you go to overtime. So it's not like you just have them all the time. But it is just odd to the eye to not have the game start with a jump ball.
Yeah, you wondered if, not to diminish these games or say they don't count or anything, but you wondered if there were some postseason implications or actual conference implications if they would throw that in there.
I doubt it, because it's one of those things. It doesn't really affect anything one way or the other. You know, it's just strange.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think that would have.
Have you seen anybody throw on the pressure on the opening throw-in?
I have not. No, it's been an uncontested throw-in. Okay. Now, I did see last week, it was rather funny, the Lincolnwood-Nokomis boys game went to overtime.
Yeah.
And so, coin toss for overtime. So the official flips the coin, you know, going to let it land on the floor because you can't catch it. You know, go to Seinfeld here. You didn't call no interference. But the coin, I don't know, you couldn't do this if you tried. It landed on its edge and rolled from the Lincolnwood bench all the way across the floor.
Wow.
The official's walking after the coin, just keeps going, clanks off the bleachers, and comes to a rest.
What do you do at that point? Just reflip?
No, they went with it.
Okay. As soon as it starts rolling, I would almost just pick it up and reflip.
Yeah. It was a legitimate flip, though.
I guess. Yeah.
Didn't hit the table.
But it hit the bleachers.
They didn't call no interference, David. Didn't call no interference.
Well, then catch it.
Well, that's a whole nother story. Is that legal? Does that affect catching it and then flipping it over?
I don't know. Yeah. I've often wondered why they don't do that in, like, football or anything, why it's such a big deal to not catch it.
Well, I think because there's more, the toss has more integrity to it, where you don't have to worry about anyone manipulating the flip potentially.
What if you have the coin we're really getting into the weeds with this coin toss discussion, but what if in football, when you flip the coin, it lands because it's grass, so it's not an even surface necessarily. It does land like straight up and down. What do you do then? Do you just reflip?
That's probably a reflip.
Yeah.
That's probably a reflip.
Or if it's slightly to one side, do you still go with it?
Of course, the NFL, they've changed all their coin tosses ever since. I think it was Thanksgiving Day.
With the Steelers and Lions.
Yeah, where Jerome Bettis. I don't remember if he clearly called heads or clearly called tails. He clearly called it.
Yeah.
And the official went the other way.
Yeah.
And now they have everyone mic'd up and they verify. Wait, what did
you
say?
They had it mic'd up at the time, too. Yeah. Well, I guess the players weren't mic'd up, but you could clearly hear what he was saying.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah. Was that thing? That was a Thanksgiving game,
I think,
right?
So.
Yeah, because it was nationally televised, because it's just about everybody saw it.
It always goes worse when everybody sees it.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to have a good show for you coming up today. We're going to catch up with Drew Logan about 9:15. Going to have Justin Milberg with us around 9:30 and Brandon Engelman at 9:45. Of course, Litchfield finally out of quarantine here. David, both the girls and the boys teams were in action last night against Staunton, and that was a long 2 weeks for me. I can't even imagine how long that felt for the Litchfield kids, because when I thought, like, wow, yeah, they're just coming out of quarantine, I was like, yeah, that's only been 2 weeks, but a lot has happened in those 2 weeks.
Was last night their first games, or had they played this week?
It's first game.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't know when the mark of their quarantine ended.
Yeah, last night.
Okay. So they didn't even get any practice in either.
Well, no, they had to, because they had to get their number of practices in
could
play. So they were just eligible to play.
So they were out of quarantine earlier this week, but they weren't able to play until. Gotcha. Okay.
And, we just keep our fingers crossed that will be the only situation locally where we have a team have to go into quarantine. And when the season's only 5 weeks anyway, and you lose 2 weeks right out of the gate, they're going to be hard-pressed to get out from underneath that eight ball that they're under right now, because everybody else has 2 weeks under their belt. And, no one's really going to be in shape. We've talked about how the quality of play probably won't be to the level that we're accustomed. But when you talk about being 2 weeks behind everybody else who was already behind, that's tough for Litchfield.
Well, this year, treating it as a development year anyway, trying to develop your younger players, develop your team, it almost works to your advantage because you have some built-in obstacles. You can see how your guys go and girls go facing adversity so you can prepare them for the future because they're probably not going to face something like this anyway. So, I mean, you're talking about a team that's going to be way behind their competition this year. It's probably not going to be like that next year or the year after. So this is a good year to develop the team.
This is a good year to be bad and a bad year to be good.
Yeah. Well, Calhoun, I mean, were they supposed to be really good this year?
Well, they had their two bigs back. They kind of lost some of their guard play from last year. But, yeah, you know, they were looking at a big run. And you feel for, you know, like the seniors, obviously. But when you're a senior and you know you're going to be good, you look forward to that for years building up to it. And then to not have the normal season just really, really sucky to be good this year.
Were there big seniors this year? The bigs? Okay. Yeah, so that's really.
And then Corey Nelson blew out his ACL in the first game of the year.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Litchfield boys basketball coach Drew Logan here on Sports Saturday.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, Dave. We're going to catch up with Litchfield head coach Drew Logan here in just a moment. Let's run down some scores from last night in the game heard on FM 106. In boys action, Gillespie beat Carletonville 56-53. Cameron Link had 25 for the Miners. Hillsborough beat Roxana 69-46. Gavin Matusha had 21. Hillsborough off to a 5-0 start at Nokomis tonight, live at 7. Right here on FM 106. Pena beat Southwestern 58-34. Greenville over Vandalia 43-38. Nokomis beat Mount Olive 60-35. Ben Clavin had 22 for the Skins. South County winners over Lincolnwood 45-35. In double overtime, North Mac beat New Berlin 48-45. Auburn winners over Athens 59-48. Marrero Forsyth beat Williamsville 55-38. Porta topped Plains 56-39. Riverton over Illini Central 72-40. Bunker Hill beat Father McGivney 61-56. Alton Marquette winners over Waterloo Jabot by the final of 43-37. Elsewhere in boys basketball last night, Calhoun over Greenfield Northwestern 41-39. West Central beat Carrollton 69-40. Quincy Notre Dame topped Jersey 60-43. Mohammed Seymour winners over Lincoln 60-55. Waterloo beat Civic Memorial 55-40. Cerro Gordo over Sangamon Valley by the final of 62-28. Boys basketball again last night. Staunton, they beat Litchfield 49-24. Going to catch up with Drew Logan here momentarily. They are in practice, so he might be running a drill at the moment. We'll catch up with Drew here shortly on Sports Saturday. Girls basketball last night saw the Carletonville Cavaliers beat Gillespie 44-28. That's a real nice road win for the Cavaliers last night. Gracie Reels had 20 in the win for Carletonville. Staunton beat Litchfield 37-20. That was a broadcast we had on FM 106, and it should be up in podcast form at WSMIRadio.com. Hillsborough beat Roxana 52-15. Southwestern winners over Pena in girls basketball last night 45-41. And Greenville beat Vandalia 57-42 and Civic Memorial down Freeburg 59-24. Coming up tonight, our girls boys doubleheader, Hillsborough at Nokomis. This is varsity only, girls at 5, boys at 7. We'll have all the action on FM 106. Other boys games slated for today, Carletonville hosting Greenfield Northwestern. Lincolnwood travels to North Mac. That'll be on the South Campus in Girard in the new gymnasium. JV slated for 1. Auburn will be at Jacksonville Route. Riverton hosting Tri-City. Rochester will be at Taylorville today. Lincoln slated to be at SHG. Girls basketball for today. North Mac is at Lincolnwood. Auburn is at South County. Jacksonville will be at Pleasant Plains. Taylorville's at Rochester. And Williamsville will be on the road at Springfield Lutheran. So that's a look at what is happening today. And this was a nasty week, David. We had big plans for all sorts of broadcasts this week. And, well, Mother Nature said, I don't think so. And we've talked about the short season, and basically a whole week was lost here due to weather.
Yeah. I don't know how many games were scheduled by certain schools every day this week, but To lose everything except for one day, it's costly. The IHSA gave you pretty much free rein as in terms of limits of games. They didn't put a limit on number of games, and then you lose an entire week during a pandemic and a shortened season anyway. So, yeah, that hurts. Hurts just a little bit.
It was just a nasty, nasty week. One of the worst weeks of weather I remember in a long time across mid-Illinois.
This has been one of the coldest winters I can remember. Now, I'm not that old,
yeah,
but... It's one of the coldest winters I can remember.
Go ahead and give Mr. Logan a call. He says he's ready to roll as we are here on Sports Saturday. Going to have Justin Milberg joining us at 9:30. The Lady Lancers got their first win of the program since, 1985. Now, granted, they didn't have a team between 1985 and last year, but they picked up their first win. Just great for everyone involved with the program. So we'll talk to Justin Milberg about 9:30. Got Brandon Engelman ready to go about 9:45 as his Lady Skins will get a nice test tonight when they host Hillsboro. I'm looking forward to these games tonight. That's going to be a lot of fun with Hillsboro and Nokomis tonight on FM 106. And, of course, that's a night where normally the gym would just be packed from the floor to the rafters. Will not be the case this evening. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Litchfield head coach Drew Logan. And, Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And how's practice going so far?
It's going pretty good. Guys are, not surprising, kind of sore after a few days of practice and then playing, but doing pretty good. We're trying to cover some things from last night and then trying to get ready for Monday already.
What were the emotions for the kids last night getting ready to play the first game coming out of this quarantine?
With the younger guys, you could kind of see some nerves, first time, especially some of the freshmen, first time being out there, especially the JV game. We were didn't play real well in the first half, and then Coach Stewart kind of talked to him at halftime and told him, hey, man, relax and play. And Coach Stewart's been around these kids since they were in third grade because his kids are freshmen. And so they relaxed, played, did some things a lot better in the second half, took care of the ball and did well. And then varsity guys, we talked prior to the game. We've had some injury issues. We obviously had the quarantine issues. And I told him, I said, whether it goes good or it doesn't, I said, let's seize the opportunity to play. We're here. We've now got the opportunity to get on the court. We need to appreciate that. And then we'll play, and then we'll go back to work tomorrow.
What are you hoping to get out of this season? I mean, it's so different. It's just we're happy to be playing. That's the main thing. But what do you hope to accomplish with your group this year?
The biggest thing that we're really trying to focus on with our group is obviously we want to give our upperclassmen as much opportunity to get out there as we can. We got a couple seniors that are hurt right now and kind of fighting through some injuries. And so we're trying to give them the opportunity to compete. But at the same time, we're trying to develop the younger guys as kind of a group, the freshman, sophomore group. We're trying to develop them together. So there's really, we're making some changes on kind of our defensive side a little bit. Offensively, we're doing a lot of the same things we've done in the past. But, there's really no blueprint to it right now just because we had about 6 days of practice, and then we got shut down for 2 weeks. So we told the kids last night, we're going to be playing catch-up all year. Staunton had already played 4 or 5 games, and I think Vandalia, who we play on Monday, has already played 8. So we're just trying to instill the basic parts of our stuff and then add as we go, is the best way to put it.
And you're exactly right from the standpoint. This was going to be a tough season anyway, but then to go in quarantine before you even get started, I mean, you are smack behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and we had, we had 6 or 7 really good practice. I mean, the kids were really picking up on things. We had a really good practice that Saturday. And then Monday we had practice, and then all of a sudden Tuesday morning, the nurse meets me in the gym at 7:45.
That's never good.
This probably isn't good. But we talked about it. I mean, we talked about it from the very get-go that this is a possibility. We know how this is going to work. And unfortunately, we could play, I hate to be this way, but I told the seniors last night, I said, we assume we're going to get to play another home game. But we've already seen that things can be taken away just like that. So we're trying to, we want to be competitive. We want to obviously develop. We want to make sure that we're taking the steps to where next year we're kind of treating it like a summer in a way. I mean, where we don't really We haven't even scrimmaged yet. So we didn't really know what we had as far as subbing until we got to the games last night. So like I told them, this will be a learning process for the coaches, figuring out who needs to be out there when, what positions we can play. And then I said, there'll be some growing pains for sure.
That's wild, man, to play a game without ever having actually scrimmaged and kind of gotten your substitution patterns lined up. That's insane.
Oh, that first 7 days, we got some up and down. We did some scrimmaging, conditioning and things. But I had, at that time, I still had four or five guys who had already been quarantined.
Hmm.
So I had two potential starters that were not in that first group for the first 7 days. Well, then they came back when everybody else was gone. So I was practicing with four or five of them. You know, it's been challenging, and I know we're not unique in that. It's challenging for everybody. I feel like everybody's dealing with this, and it's tough, but at the same time, I can't tell you how happy I am to come in at 7:15 on a Saturday to get ready for practice.
And Joe, I'll get you out of here on this because I know you got practice and you got to get back. But
this
is a year where wins and losses don't really matter so much. It really is all about opportunities for kids. And Terry Tote used to always say, athletics is just another classroom. Maybe it's never been more true than this year.
Yeah, I told them, I said I had a young man whenever I coached at Mount Olive. I still remember being in the locker room at Kincaid years ago, and I'd had a kid go down with a season-ending injury. And I told the kids at that time, I said, you never know when it's going to be your last game. Like, you never know. Like, nobody that gets hurt or nobody – we didn't know last year all this was going to happen. We didn't know part of our season was going to get taken away. So I told them, I said, every opportunity we get, you gotta seize it. You got to appreciate it because we don't know. And so we're trying to obviously develop and do the things we need to do to better ourselves for future years. But at the same time, we want to appreciate the moment when we're in it.
Very good. Drew, thanks for a few minutes of your time, sir. Glad you're back to playing.
Thank you.
That's Drew Logan, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And, boy, you heard Drew say it right there. You play a game without ever having actually scrimmaged. That is something that no coach would even think about as a possibility until, of course, we got into this COVID season. So it's going to be tough for Litchfield boys and girls to kind of get ramped up here and as they try to get rid of their quarantine legs, I guess. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Lincolnwood Lady Lancers head coach Justin Milberg. Millie, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Tim. How are you?
Hey, doing fantastic. Talk to me about the emotions earlier this week after that big old W.
Oh, it was huge. I never seen kids so happy and so excited. It was a great moment for those girls and a great moment in our program, and to see them like that, it was just utterly amazing. I mean, I was so happy for them. They've worked so hard and put in a lot of time and effort, and with the shortened season and everything that's going on, it was just an emotional high for all of us.
And I mean, we know there's a lot more to high school sports than wins and losses. But when you put the time, the blood, sweat, and the tears into it, boy, is it nice to get that reward at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. I think for them, you know, the work they put in and, you know, what we've been telling them as a coaching staff and everybody in the community has been telling them, hey, you're getting better. You know, things are getting better. It's going to be fine. Keep playing. Keep going hard. And with all the stuff that's going on this year, which we all know what's going on, and it's sure great for them to see their hard work pay off and show that it's worth it at the end of the day. You know, all the work you put in, it's great reward whenever you get that win.
And, you know, when we talk about the pandemic, I think it's you talk about the sports part of the pandemic, and then you talk about the real part of the pandemic. But from the sports part of this, with your program just getting restarted last year, losing the summer, that was a big blow.
Oh, it was huge. It was huge for us. But we got some contact days in there in the fall and had some time in, so that was good. And I had every kid show up for those.
Hmm.
So that was outstanding to get that. We were outside, of course, in the park. But to still get that done and to be outside and have every kid show up, I mean, I can't ask for better commitment out of our kids that want to be there. I mean, they want to be there. They want to learn. They want to get better. And I'm so excited for them and super proud of what we got going on. We got a big game today against North Mac, and that ought to be a good game for us.
And that's old school, practicing outside, and you could have a night practice and go Hoosier style and get the headlights on it.
we didn't quite go that far, but we were outside in the court there in Farmersville, and there's four hoops out there, so we had it worked out great for us. And the kids enjoyed it, and they enjoyed being outside, and it was good. It was good.
When you get a program restarted like you guys did last year, there's no way to know how it will progress in the coming years. But it certainly sounds enthusiasm is still high, and your numbers are still good. So those are really the two great markers moving forward for you guys.
Absolutely. We've got 15 girls out this year. That's more than what we had last year. Well, so that's outstanding. Like I said, we had every kid return that played last year to come back. So that's great. We didn't lose anybody. So that makes us feel good as a school and as a staff that every kid still liked it and wants to play. And you know, it's been a good thing for us. We're ecstatic of what we got going on. The kids seem like they're enjoying it. They seem like they like the work that they're putting in and the time. You know, which is great for us. And I think that, you know, if we keep progressing like we are and getting somewhere, you know, that win really helped, you know, the motivation of our program. You know, you see a team not win a game the year before and then to come back and start out losing your first couple, you know, with not much practice time and all of a sudden you're in and you're playing, you know, you don't have those legs and the body ready to go. And for us to get one, it means a lot for them and their psyche and the mental toughness. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Because then once you see the positive result, it's the way the human mind works. You just calm down a little bit. It's like, okay, everything that we're doing, it's worth it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't be happier for a group of kids. They've gotten better. They've improved dramatically. You know, and they're putting in the time to make this a good go. And like I said, so far we've done pretty well this season. Starting out, and we played four games and we won one. And we got a North Mac today, and we got Brussels on Monday. So got two in a row coming up here. It'd be good matchup for us, both at home. So we get to finally get some fans in there and see us play. It's a good thing. I'm happy for the kids and they're enjoying it. It's been a good experience.
Talking with Justin Milberg, the Lincolnwood girls head basketball coach. And Justin, just talk to me a little bit about some of your key contributors and important players this year.
We've got five seniors on the squad, four from last year. We had a new girl go out, and the Crager girl's done an outstanding job, and McClellan, both seniors, and the Payne girl. And Crager's averaging, a good number of points from her. She's averaging a double-double for us on the season. So that's a really nice step up for us. I mean, last year we were having trouble scoring in the 20s, and when we get a kid averaging and double-double, that's nice. And then we got a couple good young sophomores that are helping out really well, Pope and Dom. They're doing a really nice job. And we got a freshman in there helping a little bit, and a couple other kids contributing, you know, some juniors that played from the previous year. So I'm real happy with our numbers, real happy with our kids. Our seniors have put in some time, and they've been rewarded for it, and we're coming around, you know. I'm real excited for what we got going on there with those girls.
And it sounds like you've got a lot of different contributors, which when you're trying to build what you're trying to build, you want to be able to have kind of a wider foundation. And it sounds like you have that, where you've got a pretty good core group of kids where you feel like we're moving in the right direction here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I said, with having five seniors and four returning, you know, and all four of those are doing a nice job. They all played a lot last year, every minute of the varsity games pretty much, and they're all back this year. That's been huge for us, those four seniors. And then having another senior go out this year, and Susan's loving it. She tells me every day that she loves it and wished she'd have played last year, but just a lot on her plate, and she wasn't sure because she cheerleads too. And without no cheerleading, she decided to play basketball, so she's been a nice help too. So, you know, that's all been a good thing. The young kids, like I said, the sophomores that were freshmen last year, they got to play some varsity, and now being a sophomore this year, and like I said, Pope and Crager had a great game the other day against Pawnee, along with all the other kids, but to handle the pressure at the end of the game and being up and for us never to have a win before in the program, you know, you'd think they would just fall apart. And I was telling Kyle in the paper, I said, for our kids to go 2 minutes of the game there towards the end with a lead and only have one turnover in 2 minutes when we've been averaging a lot of turnovers, it's great to see those kids understand the situation, understand the pressure, hit free throws down the stretch, and then not get to them. You know, I was super, super proud of them for being able to handle that in that time, especially with their chance to win a game. You know, they're thinking about, we don't want to lose, and they didn't handle it like that. They played, they got it done, and so proud of them. You know, they did a great job.
And it sure sounds, Justin, like the kids, they want to play for you. And when you're starting a program, we can say from scratch because it hadn't been around since the 80s, if the kids don't buy what the coach is selling or think, I don't want to play for that stooge. They're not going to play. So the fact that you've got kids coming out, especially like their senior year, never played before, come out, that is a great, I think, testament to you and your staff, Justin, that these kids think, we're going to have fun playing some ball here.
Yeah, we're pretty proud. Me and my assistant, we're real proud of what we've got going on. And the school's been real supportive in helping us get things rolling. Our AD, Mr. Stone, our principal, Mr. Schuster, and our superintendent, Mr. Hopper, they've been great help to us, help us get things going, and super excited. All the other programs in our school have been super supportive of helping us get us going. You know, our volleyball has been a big stay in our school, and for us to get them behind us and get the kids, you know, eager about playing basketball, it's been a great thing for us. So, you know, we're excited about what we got going on. The kids seem to enjoy it, and let's just hope we can keep building off it and getting better.
Mr. Stone, that sounded official. Justin, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and keep the Lady Lancers rolling.
Thanks, Tim, and I appreciate your time today. Good luck, and have a great day.
All right, you too, sir. Thank you very much. Justin Milberg with the Lincolnwood Girls Basketball Program. And, you know, David, we've talked throughout this year about this year is so much more than how many games you win or however many games you might lose. It's about the opportunity to play and just being out there and competing. But with that said, for Lincolnwood, the wins and losses, I think, they do mean maybe more to them this year because of what they're trying to build. And you never want to have a situation where you go a couple years without winning any games, because that wears on you. You know, no matter how positive you stay and how much fun you're having, the losses, when they pile up, they wear on you. And you could tell from what Justin was saying that when they got that win, pure joy, just pure joy. And when you get to see kids experience that, you know, that is a lot of what high school sports is supposed to be about. Excited for the win, not because, you know, we advanced the state or because we won the conference, but because the hard work paid off. We accomplished what we set out to do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't have much more to add to it. I mean, you said it earlier that this year was a good year for bad teams and a bad year for good teams. And the losses piling up will definitely kill your positive outlook when you're trying to remain positive about, because what they are trying to do is what you said, build a program from scratch, because gosh, they hadn't had one for what, 20 years?
I've been closer to 30 years. Yeah.
Yeah, like 85 was the last time they
suited up.
That
was 4.
Okay. So, yeah.
You probably weren't even born.
85? No, I was not. No, I was not. Not for another 6 years. So. But yeah, they're building a program from scratch. You're going to go through growing pains, but whenever you continually see the losses to pile up, even when the effort's there, even when you lose close games, sometimes it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, you just get down on yourself because it's just another loss.
I think about Terry's line all the time about athletics being just another classroom, and it is so true. And I think about Terry a lot, but this week thought about him when that Mars rover landed down. Tom Williams, he used to work out here. I remember when he did this a couple years ago, it was right around the time that Terry died. He said that he booked a ticket for the Mars rover. And I thought, that's cool and fitting. And then
made it.
Terry's birthday's Monday.
Right.
That thing almost landed on his birthday.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Could have just wished for a little bit of trouble landing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so saw the actual ticket. So T-Tote is on the Martian surface.
Yeah, very nice.
Very, very nice.
Made it to Mars.
He made it to Mars. He would have loved that. I've never known anybody who was as into space as Terry was.
Well, and he would have been one of the most excited to see the Lincolnwood girls get that win.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Yeah.
He would have had as much enthusiasm as he did when Nokomis won state.
He didn't get to see a Lincolnwood girls game, did he? Did he?
Not the current one.
Right. Well, yeah. This
the first
true.
Iteration of the program.
Yeah.
But
this
no,
is true.
He did not.
He knew, obviously knew about it coming because they put it together before he passed. But yeah, he didn't get. I don't think he got to see a girls' game.
No.
So. Was last year their first season?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, he hadn't.
Yeah, but T-Tote on the Martian surface. I just like to say that. That
has, absolutely.
That feels good, rolling off the tongue.
Made it to Mars.
He made it to Mars. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. On the other side, we will talk with Nokomis girls coach Brandon Engelman. They're off to an undefeated start, and they got the Toppers coming into town tonight. We'll talk with Brandon Engelman when Sports Saturday continues.
We are back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
First Cardinals spring training broadcast 8 days away. It'll be a week from tomorrow on Sunday, February 28th, as the Redbirds will begin their spring training slate of Grapefruit League games. And going to be just 24 games this year instead of the normal 30, and they're only going to play the teams on the east coast of Florida. So it'll be the standard Marlins, Mets, Nationals, and Astros will be who the Cardinals play in spring training this year. But there is a lot of anticipation in the air now for the Redbirds after the acquisition of Nolan Arenado. And, of course, you'll be able to hear all of the Cardinal games this year on WSMI AM 1540. And then on the FM dial, 106.9 in Montgomery County, 92.9 in Macoupin County for the Redbirds this year on WSMI AM 1540, 106.9 and 92.9. Fighting Illini basketball this afternoon from Minnesota, 1:30 with the pregame on 105.3 The Ox. The Illini up to number 5 in the nation, a half game behind Michigan for the Big Ten lead. Pregame at 1:30 today on 105.3 The Ox. Coming up tonight on FM 106, Hillsboro at Nokomis, girls-boys doubleheader. We'll have the girls game live at 5. The boys game will follow live around 7, all on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. And happy to be joined now by Nokomis girls head coach Brandon Engelman. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, your squad is off to a really nice start here. Just kind of your thoughts on the early portion of Nokomis' schedule.
Well, yeah, we're pretty excited about it. To say at least we're a little bit surprised that we thought we could be all right, but win 5 games after not won a ton of games the last 2 years is pretty exciting for us, and the momentum, girls are feeling pretty good about themselves. We know that our schedule hasn't been we haven't put the top level teams through the area just yet. We got one coming up today that we'll have our hands full with Hillsboro, but we're excited to get a measuring stick and see where we are. We've found ways to pull out wins at the end of the game, which is a good skill to find ways to learn how to win, too.
And, you know, you mentioned maybe your schedule hasn't been, you know, as tough as years past early. But with what you're trying to build, to be able to get those wins under your belt, man, is that big for the confidence and the psyche of the kids.
Absolutely. We've talked a lot about that. You have to learn how to win.
Yeah.
You got to know how to win. And we've had the last 4 games have been close games, 2 overtime games, and we haven't panicked. We've been down 10, came back and won a game down 10. We were down a few points the other night and found a way to make plays at the end of the game, and they made plays again after we took the lead to take it back, and I'm still not panicking and just making the right plays at the right time to find ways to win.
And from a coaching perspective, Brandon, when you see your kids maintain that type of poise and those types of pressure situations, that's a good feeling.
It is. And for kids who haven't been, we're still pretty young. We do have some senior leaders that are helping as well, but we're still sophomore heavy. So those kids making those plays at the varsity level and having that confidence to do so is really encouraging as we move on.
And you've had nice guard play here to start the year, but Audrey Sobel on the inside, she's a game changer.
She's been a load for us all year. She's averaging about 18 points and 13 rebounds. 5 straight double-doubles in every game. So certainly, but if you ask her, she's certainly going to tell you that she's got a lot more left. She's got a couple of games that she'll say, boy, I could have played a whole lot better. And but at the same time, what she provides for us, the size, we're not a very big team besides her. And she has been dominant inside, rebounding and defensively, and then just gives us somebody to throw the ball to and can score and finish inside for us. It's been huge.
That mentality, though, that is what is going to take her to the next level in her junior and senior year. She's not complacent or satisfied with what she's done.
No, she was. If you talk to her, she's frustrated with how the last couple of games have went, and she's ended up with 26 and 12 and 18 and 13, and knows that as she gets better and better and things that she can improve on,
She's got another 5-6 points. And rebounds, I don't know that she can play much better rebounding. She's been completely dominant rebounding everywhere. We've played Staunch at 18 and 18 against that. And we haven't had somebody have those kind of numbers since I've been coaching. So that's a great encouraging thing for me to go forward as she's still a sophomore, still learning, still getting better every game.
You mentioned the Toppers coming into town tonight, and this could be an old-school type of game where whoever controls the boards and wins the inside and the paint might win this game, because what a matchup with Audrey Sobel and then Nakia Harson with Claire Tester for Hillsboro. That's going to be fun to watch tonight.
Yeah, they've got a pair of them inside. Those two have seemed like we've been playing them forever, and they're going to be a handful inside. And we played a Finley girl from Tri-City, and she's a little bit bigger. She's a good 6'1", bigger than Sobel, and she was a ton inside, but no team has had two of them like this. But we've got Kristen Stouter has been playing huge for us inside. She's typically been a guard, but with our sophomore guards able to handle it, she's been providing size and works a tail off inside, kind of replacing Macy from last year. And so we'll count on her to do a little bit. And she's had 11 rebounds there tonight and playing real hard inside as well.
And you feel good for Kristen Stouter because she's battled some injuries here the last few years.
That's, I guess, a great story from her. She got hurt the last game of her sophomore year, rehabbed all the way through, started junior year out last year, excited about it, and first game of the year, hurt her knee again, had a surgery again, and rehabbing. So this whole pandemic of not get her getting a chance to play, I'm still thrilled for her that she's able to play and get some time in. And she's missed so much of her high school athletic career. She's just such a good kid that just does anything and works her tail off. And can't ask for a better kid to coach than Kristen.
And, you know, those types of stories, that really is what sticks with you, isn't it, Brandon, as a high school coach, is, you know, the wins and the losses, they are what they are. But when you see a kid persevere and overcome those types of injuries and get back, that's what it's about.
Yeah, it is. It's so good for her that you can just see that the devastation of her, how she wants to play, wants to work hard, wants to do anything and everything you ask. And to have things like that happen to her, just fluke, non-contact injuries, and to have to battle back and go through everything that she's gone through, to get this chance to play these games these couple months is still rewarding to see her play and enjoy, and then winning a few games as well.
Yeah.
To have the excitement that she has and other girls have for her as well.
And I would think, I'm just assuming here, you tell me if I'm wrong, but her attitude and the way that she approaches things, underclassmen the last couple of years had to be looking at her and thinking, man, if she wants it that bad and she can't play, I better bring it because I can.
Yeah, for sure. That when she's sitting there and she's coming to practice every single day and just sitting there watching us, and if you can't sit over there and look at her and be like, man, I got to take advantage of this because it could end in a hurry, and it's going to – I've really got to play and give everything I got because I know she would want to be out there as bad as anybody, and to lead and show her that that we're going to take care of it for her.
Brandon, I don't want you to give away any state secrets here, but keys for Nokomis tonight to get a victory against Hillsboro.
Well, they got three. I mean, they've got more than three players. They got three main players. We got to find a way to slow Harson down inside, and Tester as well. So, Lainey Rupert, the ton outside as well. We got to make sure we're not giving her open looks and getting her moving down the floor too fast. But we got to play a little better defense with us. For us, we've not turned the basketball over. They're going to be a better defensive team, and we've really done a great job with that, not turning the ball over. But we've got to. They're going to turn it into points. And we feel like the last four or five games, we've left 10, 15 points on the board by missing layups and missing some free throws. We're going to have to finish those tonight and take advantage. We do that, we think we can be right in the game and play right with them. We're lots of confidence with the girls, and that's offensively, we've got to finish the easy shots that we get, and then we've really got to play good sound defense to keep them off the boards and not let them get any easy baskets.
Good stuff. Brandon Engelman, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, and see you tonight.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, that is Brandon Engelman, the head coach for the Nokomis girls basketball team. And, yeah, David, this is going to be a humdinger, as they would say. This is just, it has all the makings of just a classic basketball game tonight, Hillsboro and Nokomis. And then, you know, you talk about the boys game, the Nokomis boys, Evan Herbstreit got hurt second game of the year. They've had some players out with COVID over the last week or so. And then you look at Hillsborough, the boys, they are just rolling right now. And, you think about that junior group with Matouche and Vogel. Hillsborough only has one senior, Jace Teakin. So for the Toppers, great start to the year, but they are really, I think, setting the stage for a big run next year. And, we still got a lot to go this year, and I'm not trying to gloss over this year, but when I see a team that only has one senior with the talent they have coming back, and I think they've got some talented freshmen along the way as well, the Hillsborough boys, just my opinion, for whatever that's worth, and it ain't much, they're going to be a load next year.
Yeah, like we said earlier in the show, this is the perfect year to spend time developing and everything. So wonderful that they're off to a good start this year, but this isn't even that. That's just gravy at this point. This is they're building for next year, and you go through your obstacles, your adversity this year, and prepare yourselves for next year. And they could be very much a load and compete for the conference title and make a deep postseason run next year. We'll see.
And I mentioned it one of the mornings this week. Football season, the spring season is approaching here. Will there be a school that goes undefeated the whole calendar year of 2021? Run the six games in the spring and then go undefeated in the regular year and win state in the fall. Now, understand, it will be different teams because you'll have seniors that play in the spring that won't be there in the fall. But that, again, I worry and think about something that just doesn't matter.
Sports?
Football.
Football, okay.
Football. Will anybody go 6-0 in the spring and then be an undefeated state champion in the fall? I'm intrigued to see.
It's certainly possible.
Someone will do it.
Just because I'm sure there are teams out there who have gone multiple seasons, regular seasons, average seasons going. What did Rochester? Oh, Rochester had SHG to deal with.
Yeah. Well, you look at state undefeated state champions aren't as normal as you might think. A lot of one loss state champions.
Yeah, it would be looking at those private schools, to be honest, to see what the runs that they had, if they had multiple years of going unbeaten.
Or Williamsville.
But yeah, if you're including the postseason, Williamsville hasn't done it.
No, I'm saying they could. I'm talking about teams that could do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
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 That's a program that I could see. I could see them doing that.
Going unbeaten this spring and then winning it all.
As an undefeated. Yeah. I'll be interested to see if it happens.
Yeah. It's tough because
that's incredibly tough.
That's a really hard conference.
Oh, yeah.
In football. The Sangamo is really tough. I'm not saying they couldn't win it all again, but I don't know that they could. I don't know that they will go unbeaten.
I don't either.
In the fall.
I'm just going to be really intrigued to see if anybody does it.
Yeah. I'm intrigued too. I'm now also intrigued to know if anybody has done it. Multiple years, like back-to-back years, gone unbeaten.
Well, yeah, it certainly has happened in the history.
You would think, but no one comes to mind.
Yeah, no, it has happened. Yeah, I don't know specifically, but this is just a totally different type of situation that we're going to have coming up. It's going to be weird. We're going to be filling out NCAA tournament brackets, going to have Cardinal baseball and high school football all going at the same time.
Yeah, and the NCAA tournament's all in one city.
One city, and they're going to have fans. And Illinois making a push for a one seed. Strong push.
They are.
They're at Minnesota today, 1:30 with the pregame over on 105.3 The Ox. They hammered Minnesota when they played them back in December. It'll surely be a closer game today.
It's hard telling because they hammered them earlier this year, but then Minnesota went on a run. Now Minnesota has fallen back a little bit, but it's at Minnesota. So I don't know. I say that because they hammered them when they were good.
Right.
And now I don't think they're necessarily playing as well as they were when Illinois hammered them.
No, that's a fair point right there.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows in the Big Ten this year?
The only thing in the Big Ten is that if you got Iowa on your team, you got a chance to win each and every time you step on the floor.
This is true.
He single-handedly bailed them out at Nebraska. The other night.
He's done that through his career.
Yes, he has.
A few times.
He came in talking about how he wanted to leave his mark on the Illini program. Done that.
He
and, quite frankly, we love D. Brown, but Iota Sunmo is making a strong case for the greatest player to wear number 11.
Oh, absolutely.
He might have already made it.
Yeah. D. Brown had the postseason, though. That's the difference.
D. Brown was on the magical team.
Yeah. We'll
see if Io can lead his crew
this is true.
To the Final Four this year. High school basketball tonight, girls, boys, doubleheader, Hillsborough, Nokomis, girls live at 5, boys live at 7. It's all on FM 106 and streaming online at WSMIRadio.com. Thanks to Drew Logan, Justin Milberg, and Brandon Engelman for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. Don't forget, Illinois at Minnesota, College Hoops, 1:30 today on 105.3 The Ox. This is your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carthenville, and Greenville.